I think Dan's a month older than I am.
He is.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, at least I can see. Somewhat. Somewhat. By the way, since Tom brought it up, Chris and Anessa are having a wedding shower tomorrow night here at the church. It's going to be at what time, Pam?
Well, actually,
we're having it for them. The church is having it for them.
6:30.
Yeah, and everyone is invited. Families, dads, moms, husbands, wives. If you're here today, you're invited. Okay? So, we are almost finished with the book of Hebrews. We've only been on Hebrews a year and a half. Thank you. We are actually in Hebrews chapter 13, and I think, Lord willing, it'll be today, then next Sunday, and we will finish the book of Hebrews. Okay? So, today we're going to be looking at the duties of a Christian. Christian duty. We often talk about the duty of an American citizen, especially during this time of year. We just celebrated July 4th, and we are like, man, we love to celebrate these special days. Pledging allegiance to the United States, honoring those who've gone before us. I was looking at the news the other day, and I saw that President Trump had celebrated the military. Jets flying over and a parade and all of this. And I heard someone say, I don't remember if it was a congressman or a Senate, said, I don't understand why we have to celebrate the military on July 4th. And I'm thinking, all of us enjoy our freedoms. Right? All of us enjoy the freedoms that we experience as a United States citizen. But sometimes we forget that there are people who paid the price for our freedoms. And there are some, maybe many, who enjoy the freedoms and love the freedoms more than they love the people who fought and died for those freedoms. We have a lot to be thankful for. And we need to remember those in the military service, those who have been in the military service. And we need to recognize them, and we do here at this church. It's amazing to me how many people in this congregation have been in the military. It's just amazing to me. But we're going to look at a passage today in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 12, that talks about how we are to celebrate and honor Jesus Christ, the one who brought us the freedom that we now enjoy. So we're having some technical difficulties. We're getting there. We're getting there. So Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 12. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 16. And I'm going ahead and read that, and when they get it together, that will come up on the board. So also, Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. So let's stop. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Todd, would you pray for me as I begin this morning? Amen. So, what did Jesus endure? He endured a lot. He endured the cross. It was for your sin and my sin that He was punished. This passage of Scripture said that it was so that we could be sanctified, so that we could be made holy, that His blood was shed for us. Okay? Would you just get rid of that until you get online with me, please? Just black that out. It's kind of distracting. So, Jesus was punished, and He died for us. But why did He face ridicule and shame and disgrace, and why was He reproached? Was that for us? Actually, it was because He was following the Father. That was His own disgrace. Because He chose to speak truth to a people who didn't want to hear truth. It was because He was looking at and being obedient to what His Father had to share with Him. And it was because of that that He fell into disgrace by the people. He was ridiculed. He was ostracized. He was rejected. He was despised. Only a handful of people really wanted to have anything to do with Him. And part of it, a lot of it was because Jesus was a man of God and He spoke truth and He did what was right. And that caused a lot of problems for people. In Isaiah 53, Scripture says, He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. And verse 7, He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet He never said a word. Verse 8, and He was unjustly condemned. Verse 9, He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but He was buried like a criminal. He was put in rich man's grave. His suffering, death on the cross, was for us, to take away our sin. His disgrace, the reproach that He experienced, was just because He was doing the right thing. Just because He was doing the right thing. So according to this passage of Scripture in Hebrews, Hebrews says, this is what Jesus did for you. Now, this is your duty. This is your duty as a Christian. Okay? So, He says to go, the first thing He says is to go outside the camp. Like, what? What in the world does that mean? Don't you guys just like to huddle together as Christians? Don't you just like to come on Sundays and just kind of rub elbows with one another and love on one another and enjoy each other's presence? I mean, that's wonderful. It's a great time together. We are enjoying one another's presence and one another's fellowship, and that's the way it ought to be. But it's easy to just get stuck there. It's easy just to be comfortable with us and no one else. Basically, what this author is saying is that we need to leave our comfort zone. And we need to go out into the world, and we need to share Christ with those who don't know Him. How many non-Christians do you think are going to come to church out of their own just, oh, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and go to church? In the culture in which we live in Tillamook, how many people who aren't Christians do you know who's just going to wake up next Sunday and say, man, I'm going to go to church? So if they hear the gospel message, how are they going to hear it? So we have to leave the camp. We have to leave what's comfortable. And we have to go out into the world. Then he says, if you do that, that we're going... So as you, he says, go outside the camp. And then as you go outside the camp, you bear the disgrace that Jesus bore. Does that make sense? So as you leave our huddle here this morning, and as you go into the world, there's some people that's not going to like it if you share Christ with them. There are some people who are not going to like it if you try to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. There's some people who aren't going to like it. And by not liking it, you may have to wear some of this disgrace that Jesus wore. Does that make sense? How many of you have ever been ridiculed for being a Christian? Okay. Several of you. How does it feel? Not very good. So what did you do? You just hunker down and hope they don't see you. But here's the deal. We, because of what Jesus did for us, we owe it to Him. He took your sin. He took your punishment. He took the power of sin from your life. There's some of you here today, many of you here today, who you're not the same person you used to be. Okay? Now, you didn't do that on your own. Jesus did that in you. He made that power in your life. He's the one who gave that to you. You could not, many of you tried and tried and tried and tried to quit some behavior in your life. But when Jesus showed up, it just kind of went away. How many of you had some behavior in your life that you tried to get rid of and could not do it till you met Jesus? Half the congregation. So, if Jesus did that for you, then don't we owe it to Him to have a little dirt on our face because of what people think about us, because we're trying to live a life that's Christ-like? You know, when in Antioch, they were first called Christians in Antioch. And Christians means little Christs. And actually, it was a slur by those in Antioch. They, oh, you're trying to be like Christ. You're just a little Christ. You're just a little Christ. Well, let it be. I hope we get there. I hope we get there. And you're going to, if you live for Christ, you're going to have some slurs come your way. There are people who are not going to like you, and you're going to fall in disgrace Because, but listen, we owe it to Him. Not only do we owe it to Him, we owe it to the world. I want to ask you a question, and you don't have to answer out loud. Who is big enough, brave enough, bold enough to share Christ with you? Who was it that loved you enough to tell you about Jesus? Who was it? The next question is, who do you love enough that you will share Christ with them not know Jesus? Who do you love enough? I want to tell you, if you do that, you're going to bear some of the disgrace that Jesus bore. Okay? That's just life. People don't really like the name of Jesus and what it stands for. I didn't like it then, I don't like it now. So what? We have a duty as a Christian. We owe it to Jesus Christ, and we owe it to the world. In Mark 8:38, it says, so, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when He returns in the glory of His Father with His holy angels. Do you want Jesus to be ashamed of you? Have you been ashamed to share Christ with others? There have been times I have. I'm just to be honest with you. Okay? I hope that'll never happen again. Scripture says that if anyone asks you about the hope that is within you, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. So don't be ashamed. The second thing we find out is that we're not to be afraid. Matthew 10, 28 through 33 says this. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he who denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We don't need to be afraid. A lot of times that's what keeps us from sharing Christ with the world, is because we have fear. So he says, don't be afraid because God is with you. In the mornings, you look out at your window and you see the little birds out there, and they're pulling worms out of the ground or eating seed. And guess who provided for them? God did. It's not accident. God provided for them. And He says if He takes care and He protects and watches over these little birds, how much more will He protect, care for, and watch over you? How much more will He do that for you? Aren't you worth more than a bird? Would you agree that you're worth more to God than a bird? Okay. You're worth more to God than a bird. And if God will do that for a bird, He's watching over you, particularly whenever you go and share Christ with someone else. He says, behold, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. And He made that statement right after He said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Behold, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. So, what do you have to fear? We Will the world ridicule you, perhaps? Will they reject you, perhaps? We have nothing to fear. So what if you have to wear some of that? Scripture says, not only don't be afraid, but don't be surprised. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be surprised. 1 John 3:13. Don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. So, a lot of times I feel like what holds me back, maybe hold you back, is that we may be a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser. We care more about what people think about us than we do what God thinks about us. Man, this writer in Hebrews just starts meddling in our lives, doesn't he? I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I like to huddle up. I like to rub elbows with Christians. I like to be with people who are like-minded. I like that. But you know what I like even more? When I share Christ with someone and they receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I like that even more. So, he goes on and shares with us in Hebrews chapter 13, since you will be disgraced if you live for Christ, so that's just a given, okay? Don't be surprised when people don't particularly like you. It's just a given. He says, remember, in verse 14 of Hebrews 13, remember where your home is. Where's your home? Heaven. A lot of times we think it's Tillamook. A lot of times we think, you know, my home is on Brickyard Road. But when you have to wear disgrace, you need to remember where your home is. There's an old song that says, this world is not my home. I'm still a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Your home isn't here. And even if people disgrace you, even if you have to wear some of that stuff for a while, it's not a permanent thing. It's okay if some people don't like you and the message that you carry. It's okay. It's quite all right. Jesus was ridiculed, despised, rejected, all of that stuff. And don't be surprised if that happens to you as a child of God. Now, I'm not telling you, what I'm not saying is I want you to go out and offend everybody you can. I've known Christians who try to do that. They'll just see how offensive they can be toward other people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to speak the truth in love, and if it offends somebody, and you have to wear some disgrace because of it, it's the same kind of disgrace that Jesus wore. And it's okay. So you wear your disgrace because you remember that this place is not your home. 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. So, you are a temporary resident here. You're just visiting. Your home is in heaven. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. So your home is not here. Your home is in heaven. So don't get too attached to this place. Don't get too attached to the things that you have at your home. Don't get too attached to them. Because one day you're going to go home. And you're going to leave all that stuff behind. One way that we wear the disgrace is to remember where our home is. The second way we wear it is to praise the name of Jesus. In verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 13, it says, therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Now Scripture says in Matthew 5, 11 through 12, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for so great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Be glad and rejoice. So when people revile you for being a Christian, say, praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, because great is your reward in heaven when that happens. We've got more to go to heaven for than we had yesterday. So when people revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you, praise the Lord! Hallelujah! We need to give our allegiance to Jesus Christ. Give thanks to the Lord even when those things happen. You remember Paul and Silas in prison? They were put in prison because they were preaching the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And would you remember what they were doing in prison in the stocks? They were singing praises to the Lord. Praising Him because they were willing, able to suffer for Him, and God delivered them in a great and mighty way. How many of you have ever heard of John Huss? A few of you. So John Huss was a reformer back in, like, I think 1380, a long time ago. And so the church at that time was teaching some erroneous doctrines. The church at that time were, have you ever heard of an indulgence? So basically what the church was doing is saying, you know, rather than coming to confession to confess your sins, we know you're going to sin, so you just pay up front. So let's just say you're going to murder somebody. That's going to cost you to be forgiven. And so therefore, you pay your money for this indulgence. If you know you're going to go get drunk on Saturday night, then you pay your indulgence and then you're forgiven because you're paid up. Well, John Huss was not happy with that doctrine. And so he started preaching against it, as well as some other things. But he was speaking the truth. And so they decided to kill him, and they decided to do it by burning him alive. So I want to read, this is Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it's a list of people throughout the history who's been martyred for the name of Christ. So, I'm going to just read a little section. The flames were now applied to the faggots or the sticks. When our martyr sung a hymn with so loud and cheerful a voice that he was heard through all the cracklings of the combustibles. And the noise of the multitude, it should be a period there. Anyway, at length his voice was interrupted by the severity of the flames, which soon closed his existence. So in the midst of the burning flames, he was singing to the top of his lungs praises to the Lord. That would be a horrible way to die, being seared by the flames. I burned myself before and I don't like it. But John Huss, I wonder, by him singing the praises and his whole heart kind of zeroed in on God, if that kind of kept him from feeling the pain that he was experiencing. I wonder. I don't know that. But till his dying breath, he was singing praises to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you share Christ, there are people who are not going to like it. So what? So what? If you share Christ, there are people who may ridicule you, despise you, reject you. So what? So what? We have to leave the camp. We have to go out into the world. And by doing that, there will be some disgrace, reproach put upon you. That's the Christian life. So what? So what? You have a home in heaven. So what? You have a God who loves you, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. So what? Offer God sacrifices of praise. He bore so much for you. Can you bear a little disgrace for him? Will you bear some disgrace for him? I don't know all of you here today. I'm assuming that all of you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And there may be some here today that someone has tried to talk to, and you've even brought a little disgrace against them for sharing truth. But today you may say to the Lord, Lord, I want, even if it costs me a little discomfort, I want to give my life to you. And maybe today you've been in fear because of what others may say. We were with Clint Sams on the whitewater rafting. He said that years ago, after he became a Christian, he was on the streets of Seattle. The Lord told him he wanted Clint to go to intersection and be a witness for him in the streets of Seattle. And he was scared to death. And so he went to his pastor and said, well, Pastor, the Lord wants me to do this, and I'm not sure quite how. And the pastor said, well, man, I'm glad the Lord hadn't asked me to do that. He said, here, take these tracts and hand them out. And so Clint took the tracts down there. And he said in the beginning it was like, and hardly anybody would take it, but he said on the third track that he gave out, something happened to him. He said all of a sudden all the fear went away. And he was able then to begin to talk to people about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's a bold witness today for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have to begin by giving out tracts, do it. If that's all you can do is go into a bathroom and leave a tract on the toilet, do it. And let God begin to build the boldness in you. Don't let fear keep you from sharing Christ with others. The fear of being disgraced. The fear of being disgraced. Decide today that I'm going to share Christ regardless of what it costs. Father, we come before you today.